six-pack lap of that. And we got 2024 Sheffield champion, king of the 93s, and king of powerlifting, Gustav Hedlund. Gustav, 4.3% had you winning. That, and you pulled off one of the biggest upsets we've seen in powerlifting. You went from at Worlds 875,
yeah,
and collecting another medal, but not the gold medal, and ended up at Sheffield 895 and standing on top of the entire sport. And it looked like you had more in the tank. How did this happen? How is it now you've leveled up?
Well, I have kept up with my training. I have not stopped. I have just continued to working hard and like making lots of small improvements. And I started also working with a dietist or a nutritionist, Kendrick. And yeah, I know I've had more in my body, like since Worlds in Malta and stuff. I know I had like, I have more. I knew it. And it was just a matter of execution for me, I think. So, and at Sheffield, I executed.
Because you've had, I remember back in like 2018, I've said this before, but you won the junior world championships and out-totaled everybody in the open as a junior. Very few people ever do that. Win a junior title and out-total everybody in the open. You could have been the open world champion that year.
Yeah.
So when you moved into the open, I remember everybody being super excited about this. And you were pegged as somebody to watch, an instant contender. And
yeah,
ever since then, you've been chasing and got like three silver medals, never quite gold, never quite number one,
yeah,
but right close.
Yeah.
And always had that potential. And if you could put it all together on the day, and you came super close in 2021, you were an inch away. I remember you leaving the platform going like this, like, oh, so
yeah,
close.
It was very close. So now it felt very good to, what do you say, to tie this act together, to make it official.
It's a long time coming. I mean, there's a lot of people in your shoes that probably could relate because they've been chasing forever. Like, yeah, you know what I told Gavin? I said, take inspiration from Gustav because he was disappointed. He was like, ah, oh, man, still couldn't do it. Still couldn't pull it off. I'm like, look at Gustav. Yeah. You can hang in there. There's a lot of lifters like that who can hang in there and keep coming back.
Yeah, and he got the squat record now. So, I guess he's a bit happy.
Yeah. I mean, he's got bright spots. For yourself, what you were telling me about the calories that you've additionally ate. What calories, do you know the calories you were eating before? And what's the calories you're eating now?
The calories I ate before Sheffield was like 4,400 leading up to the competition, around there. And I haven't got my schedule for now. I get it tomorrow. So I don't know what I'll be eating in these couple of weeks.
It's a lot of calories. That's huge for a guy as lean and cut as you. In previous to working with Kedrick, was it that you were under eating, you think?
I was not under eating, but I think I was eating a bit too much protein and maybe sometimes a bit too much fat and like not optimizing everything. It's not like I've changed like all the stuff I eat. It's more that I have adjusted to eating a bit more carbs, controlling the amount of protein and the amount of fat, and just making small adjustments there. And like eating a lot of rice and simple carbs because I eat it in clean food as well. So it's a big volume.
It would have to be 4,400 calories is tons if you're eating clean. Like you'd be eating all day It feels right.
I
Or do you
usually eat
have
it in like
huge?
I usually eat it in three big meals and maybe a bit of a like I take like intra carbs or what do you say that, during the workout my big workouts I usually have carbs liquid carbs maybe a banana with but otherwise I eat it in three big meals.
You have been a 93 forever, and you're eating 4,400 calories as a 93, and you're shredded. You're probably not going to 105. I mean, for you to go to 105 and gain 12 kilos, you would be eating like 10,000 calories. It'd be crazy.
6 7,000 yeah so maybe one day but I guess I have a lot of room still to work with in 93 I think but maybe in 5 years then I will be a small tank.
Your grocery bill will be disgusting. You're gonna have to keep winning Sheffield to afford it. It'll
Definitely,
be
definitely.
So in terms of your all right, well, after Worlds concluded in Malta and once again had the potential but didn't win Malta, what were you thinking when you get the Sheffield invite? Are you telling yourself like, I am still the number one 93 in the world? I just haven't shown everybody. Or by this time, where are you mentally in terms of, because it's been so many years you've been plucking away, pushing. I'm wondering where you were mentally.
Mentally at Worlds, I had also like a bit of a chest injury, so my bench was very off and stuff. And I had the same injury or injury. It's like a minor disturbance in the pec. I had the same before Sheffield now. So I was quite calm, and I was like, I know I have it. I got this. I just need to execute this. And I knew that. I was invited to Sheffield. Officially, it was later in the summer, but Pete Spence told me like after my competition, like, "Hey Gustav, you know you're gonna go to Sheffield. It's like a, yeah, you're basically invited." So I was very happy for that. I was like, "Yeah, true." So and I was like, "Yeah, I'm going to Sheffield." So I already started cooking the plan. Like, yeah, I need to do change some stuff. I talked to Alex, my coach, and like, and we were. Yeah, we were already like the day before, after the competition, we were already almost planning like stuff and talking about it. So we were very happy. So I would say my mood was like, even though I came second, I was like very happy. I knew that like I can do this probably. I didn't know I would win Sheffield. I only knew that I would perhaps do 890, 900 kilo total. I knew that. But I was happy if I, as long as I did my total, I'm happy. And if I win, oh, that's even more fun.
Did you, this whole time, did you tell yourself, like, I can be the number one 93 in the world?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I knew like if I get my lips together, I can be the number one guy. I know it. Of course, sometimes I've been doing this for such a long time that like oh shit, I'm just working. It's like, this is something gonna happen. Yeah, but I kept my, as fast as I thought like that, I told myself, hey, don't think like that. Now we work hard, execute, do the job, and you will get a reward after that.
And when you're coming into Sheffield and the hype started building, last year's Sheffield, did you watch that online, the live stream?
A bit, yeah, I watched it. I was a bit angry that I wasn't invited because I did 880 quite easy at my nationals like a month before or something. So I was like, if I were at last Sheffield, I would have probably been like third or second place, I think, something like that. So I was a bit like sitting at home, like, I should have been there, but I watched it. It was a good show.
That's yeah, you did 880 at your nationals leading in. It's because 2020, they try to use the world championships as best they can as the qualifier. And 2022 Worlds was an odd Worlds in which you were off podium. Usually you're on podium. Usually you're always getting a medal. So you probably would have. Now, the story, the way it unfolds, it's even better now. I mean, that fuel, that fire, you watching the first Sheffield and be like, that should be me.
Yeah.
Lit a bit of a fire there, and now who gets the last laugh?
Exactly. So it was maybe it's like what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. It's like a sport is sport. So like you can't even if you feel like oh I should be invited, but in powerlifting you have numbers. Numbers don't lie in such a manner. So it's like if somebody did a higher total than you that year, of course they should be invited because of the total. But I knew, like, even though my total at Worlds 2022 were 865, I knew it was like I can do much better than this. And of course, like later, I did 880, quite easy as well. But it's like, you know,
it's tough because the 93s is like always the most stacked division in the sport. It's crazy.
Yeah.
The amount of 93s that are quality, from you to Emil Krastev to Gavin to Keiko to Chance Mitchell, depending on the year, you know, it's just absolutely stacked full of people. And on any given day, who knows what can happen.
Yeah, it was like in Worlds 2022 and other Worlds as well. I think the like the number, the best lifters are like usually the top 10 or like all the 93 guys are like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And like we're the highest in the point system usually.
Yeah. Oh, Sasha. Sorry, I forgot to mention. I mean, there's so many 93s. You can, there's
yeah,
too
there
many.
Many.
On any given day. And when it comes to Jonathan Keiko, because you guys have clashed so many times before and he was so consistent previously, was he like the 93 kilo boogeyman that when you hear that, you're like, I just can't get by this guy. He's so consistent. It's like, man.
He's a very worthy opponent, I would say. And just because it's like, I've never felt angry at him or something. I've only learned stuff from him. Like, he's very consistent. He gets his lifts. He does this stuff right. And he did some stuff he did better than me before, I think. So I tried to learn from that stuff instead of getting like, oh, he's bad because he's my opponent. I tried to learn from it and like, look, oh, he's very good. He does this, this, this. And maybe I should learn from that and adapt and become better myself.
Was it ever a point, though, where like because he was so consistent in winning so often, was it ever discouraging? And it ever get in your head like, I don't know if I could beat this guy? Or were you always, how was that? Or were you like, nah, I just haven't had my day?
Sometimes, of course, I felt like, shit, he's really, really good. Can I, of course, ask myself that question? Like, can I do this? Am I able to do this? But when I thought about that, I always came to the conclusion, yes, I can. I will do it. And I will do my best to achieve this. I will give everything I have to do this.
It's admirable. You know, they say courage is jumping from failure to failure and never losing enthusiasm. Never losing enthusiasm. It's easy to show up. Well, yeah, I showed up again. Yeah, but you didn't. You lost enthusiasm. You know, some people lose enthusiasm. Yeah. Sure, you showed up, but you're conceding now. There's like a small part. There's a small part of you that if you keep failing on your because you want to be the number 193. Failure is a tough word to use when you're meddling at Worlds. It's not really a failure, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your goal of being number one. And
exactly.
After a while, you start losing a little enthusiasm and conceding that and accepting your position, accepting that, like, yeah, I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
And for someone like you, you never stop believing that you are that guy. Yes, you can. Yes, you. Keiko's amazing, but yes, you can defeat him. And that's like one of the biggest takeaways of this victory that a lot of people are going to be able to relate to.
Yeah, it's like keep on working, basically, in a, like a sportsman way ship, I would say. It's not like you have to draw up, oh, he's my opponent, so he's a villain, he's a bad guy. We always have like me and Kaiko, Gavin, other 93 guys, we usually Sasha and stuff, we're like friends, I would say almost. It's like we always have a good time, respect each other, talk and stuff. So we have a good time during the meets as well.
In this competition, we had another wild card who was a little spicier than those other gentlemen you talked about, Carlos Peterson Griffith. He lived up to the hype,
Yeah.
though. He was an underdog, but he actually came. Even underdogs in the 93 are like contenders.
Yeah.
There's
Yeah.
nobody who's easy in the 93s. Carlos came in, and people would have easily looked past them. Like, oh, he doesn't belong. And freaking everybody's a contender in the 93s. People just develop out of nowhere. And when he came into the tournament, he was talking a big game. And people like, let's see. And he showed up. He had a pretty good showing. Yeah, what were your thoughts there?
I didn't really know what to expect from him. I've only seen him at Malta during the award ceremony, so I have no idea who he is or what he does and stuff. So I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah, he was because he's in the B group.
Yeah,
Ends up in
exactly.
Sheffield, and he just happened to live up. So when you're coming
Yeah.
into Sheffield, when you actually arrive, what is it? Because you watch pieces of Sheffield the year before, and everyone knows the hype around Sheffield. And there's media day, pictures, videos, interviews.
Yeah.
What was that like if you were to describe the week leading up to it? Because it's not like any other event.
No, that's it's a very different event from other powerlifting events, and this event lived up to my expectations 100% and more. It was such a good event, such good management, good planning. Everything was like SPD made this a very good show and like a pleasant experience for us lifters, I would say. And we got there on Wednesday, an easy flight in from Sweden, and we got picked up by the airport and came to the hotel, very good hotel. And you had like the food, the dinner place and such, and breakfast and. Yeah, it was a really good experience. Everything planned out well, everything worked. So I was very happy.
It's different than Worlds because there's so fewer people. Obviously,
Yeah.
Worlds is like every single day, Group B's, Group A's, prime time. And this was just one session, one day, all killers.
Yeah.
And you could go to dinner and everyone's there. And you go in the lobby
Yeah.
and everyone's there.
Yeah,
It
all the
was.
top power lifters are present. It's a bit weird, like all the best lifters are there, and they've even flew in Taylor Atwood. So it was like, yeah, hey guys. So it's a very special experience and cool, and I really enjoyed my week. I had a very good time.
And afterwards, after the event, the banquet, everything, it's nothing but the A team.
Yeah.
How did you feel with the media? Because for me, it feels like, again, like no other sport, like a professional. We're filming
Yeah.
intro videos. We're filming. They're,
Yeah.
you know, I'm doing intro videos. I know Taylor, like you said, and Amelia. We're filming the pre-game analysis. I don't know if you've seen
Yeah.
that part yet. They have interviews. They had a bunch of shoots and stuff. What was it like going through all that? Was it like, oh my gosh, this feels like an actual professional sport now?
Yeah, it felt very professional. I were in Sheffield in October in 2023 and shoot the new strength wear that is released now, the clothes. So I had been there a week already and done media photo stuff, so I was a bit warmed up for it. So I knew a bit like how they shoot, how to look, how to do stuff. So but I'm very honored to be able to do it and to stand in the center of attention and stuff. And it's like, yeah, just I'm being grateful for being given this opportunity to just to be invited to Sheffield. Felt like an honor.
And leading into the Sheffield event, they hate it when they call it the Sheffield event.
Yeah.
2021 Worlds, when you're an inch away from winning and defeating Keiko, became a bit of a storyline in your Road to Sheffield video.
Yes, yes.
Was this your redemption slash revenge on your mind?
How do you mean the video?
Or just like, it, obviously in the video, it's like a story arc. It's a narrative to hype the overall Sheffield. But how much was it on your mind about redemption and revenge on your mind? Like, I can right this wrong and change how people look at me.
Of course, I wanted to like make a statement and do a good result, but it was not like I was I want redemption. But of course, I felt like I want to prove people that I'm one of the best. But many good coaches and some people who are quite into powerlifting, they actually sent me messages before the competition and were like, hey, I believe you can win. And my money's on you and stuff like that.
Wow, really?
Yeah. So many,
you say
many
who?
people, what was his name? Joey Game Day is one of them.
Oh, no
Joey
kidding.
Game Days sent me that. Tony Cliff told me also that. So some people reached out to me before and said, like, we believe in you and we know you can do this and stuff. Because I'm not as big on social media as some of my opponents are. So I think that, like, the 4.3% are a bit, I think it's a number that is maybe not, of course, some people, what do you say? It's like, they don't maybe know all the facts about the sport when they vote. They vote a bit on what they feel or what should be like. They don't maybe know about my training, what I do, and stuff like that. I felt like that.
And probably your 2021 Worlds, because you're still competing, it's easier to not view it as a redemption thing or like how close you were. But let's say, because you're still competing now, so it wouldn't haunt you. Like, did 2021 Worlds haunt you? Well, no, you're still competing. So, but let's say your career.
Yeah, definitely. If I would have quit, then
that
I
would haunt you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I would be mad. Like, I never
this close.
Won. Yeah. Then that's totally true. If I quit and gave up lifting, then I probably would have regretted it for the rest of my life that I never got to win. Because I know some lifters who never won Worlds, who are now like not lifting. They're like, yeah, you feel like they talk like, yeah, I never won Worlds. And it's like you hear it on them that this disturbs them. So I have experienced that for myself or heard others say it.
And you were this close. Like, you would go back and look at that video this close to fulfilling it if you had stopped.
Definitely.
That's why this was important. So at the time, you might not have been telling yourself, this is my redemption, this is my revenge. But if you didn't do this later on in life, who knows?
Yeah. The 50-year-old Gustav would be mad.
Right. Right. Exactly. This is for the 50-year-old Gustav. You'd be like, don't worry, man. I got you.
Yeah.
We sorted this out.
Fist pump.
That's right. Fist pump, man. Rest easy.
Yeah.
How do you... Okay, I don't want to speed too ahead how you feel right now looking at Worlds yet. We'll talk about that in a sec. Let's stay in the event. When you show up the day of, and I remember the first year Sheffield for myself showing up to the event, and this is totally different than any other event. It's at a city hall, and there's a crowd of people with tickets in their hands in the front, lined up. And we're not used to this. This can't be overstated. It feels different when you show up to the venue and there's hundreds of people outside waiting to get in at the front. If you walk by the front and they see you and they're like, oh shit, there's Goose Up. Oh shit, they're coming for you. It's different. It's hard to describe to people. And when you show up into the venue and you walk into the warm-up room and you're waiting to weigh in, it does not feel the same when you know there's an arena full of people in there loading up, waiting for you. And you're looking around the weigh-ins. I remember year one when I was down there. I was like, my God, I could feel it. I could feel like shivers, like it's about to happen. The big meet is about to happen. What did that feel like for you in the weigh-ins and showing up to the venue?
It was a bit like, it's a bit, you felt the energy slowly started adding. But you felt like when you go into that place, it's so big, it's like such a cool venue. They put so much work into preparing everything with the stages, the LED, the like the full LED screen behind the stage. Everything was perfect. Such a big work has went into it. But when we got for weigh-ins, it was kind of calm. But if you stand there with all the other lifters, all the other world champions you weigh in with, it's a bit like, am I going to fight all these guys? It's like, it's not one world champion facing. You're facing 12 world champions.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a weird feeling. It's like, even if I do good, maybe I'm not going to win. Even if I total 900, I may become second, third. Who knows? So it just sounded like, yeah, but I stayed cool. I was like, I'm going to do my stuff and then I see where I end up. That's all I can do. That's in my power. And I'm going to try to have a good time and enjoy this competition, I told myself.
I like that, the calm, because it's calm before the storm, isn't
Yeah.
it? You know the storm's coming. It's coming.
Yes. It's going to be huge.
You remain calm. And it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
Was everybody calm like that back there? Or did you sense? Because look at full disclosure, last year, Gavin and Taylor went chest to chest and were like yelling and had to be separated. This year, I heard stories of people hooting and hollering at screens, and like there was, I don't know if you what you seen, what you didn't see, but there
I
is.
Didn't see anything like that. I from my experience was, it was calm with the, or maybe because I had lot one, so I weighed in first, perhaps. But and I waited like in a room. You had the main room where everybody was waiting, and I was like in a room a bit from them because it was so crowded. But I felt it, of course, many people looked nervous, like, but it was no fighting or something like that. What I remember.
Do you think the fact that you've been in so many international events, all these world championships, I mean, 2017, you were at Worlds, European championships, did that help you in terms of being calm? And the fact that 4.3% had you winning, because you're an underdog, it's like, okay, well, the pressure's on Kaiko to win again. The pressure's on other guy, Jesus, to win again. They have pressure. Me, I don't have pressure. Was it kind of like that as well?
I didn't really think about the 4.3%. I was just like, it was for me, I thought like, yeah, this is, in many ways, this is like just another competition. You weigh in, you do your stuff. But of course, in the other term, it's 3,000 people in the audience and it's a super big competition. But so for some reason, I was like, no, this is, I'm just going to do what I do. I've done this for a long time, 10 years, like, so I'm going to do it like I usually do it.
When you did finally get onto the platform, 2 hours pass, you weighed in. Gavin, were you aware Gavin had to weigh in twice?
Yeah, well, because I didn't see him downstairs. And I was like, yeah, where's Gavin? So I was looking around like, shit, did he miss weighing? Because I knew he was heavy. He was very heavy. But we were a bit nervous, like, shit, he maybe didn't weigh in. But then he came down.
It just adds a little more drama, huh? That he
Yeah.
Took twice. I mean, he broke the squad world record, so he bounced back. He bounced back. But it does add a little bit of drama. And for you making weight, despite having over 4,000 calories, easy peasy, did you have to do anything to make, like any water cutting or like sweating or anything?
We did water cut and the regular, just fiber, no fiber, salt, and just a regular water cut. And so like the week before Sheffield, I went down to eating only 4,000 calories. So I made weight eating 4,000 calories, basically.
Yeah, because you say only, that is a lot of calories.
For me, it
It's
was only. I was hungry.
you were starving.
Yeah.
But yeah, guys
And
like
it's low,
Jones.
oh, and of course, low gut food as well.
Right. You did a
So that's
gut
why
cut.
I was fine. A bit of a gut. I think he can because it low gut volume.
Okay. Yeah,
So
so
but then it's like energy for less volume, basically.
and for people who are listening that don't know, like a gut cut is essentially changing from solid foods to liquid foods. Sounds like you didn't totally go all liquid, but it just reduces the amount of volume in your stomach that you're carrying around. Because any given day, we're all carrying volume in our stomach of solid foods, and a
The
gut cut will help.
more fat as well.
More fat, yeah. So all that goes as planned. You're warming up, and as you get ready for the squats, and you hop onto the platform, or even when you're waiting in the wings, and 3,000 people are awaiting you. And this isn't just 3,000 people like they're in a library. This is 3,000 people like they're at a freaking concert. They're
Yeah.
cheering, they're hooting, they're hollering. It's crazy. I've been there before, and still, when I get in there and the arena fills up, it was like, oh my God. It
Yeah,
sold out last year.
it's big energy in the room.
Were you, how did it feel? Were you able to, in the moment, embrace it and be like, oh my gosh, this is different? Were you able to wrap that around your head, or were you like focused on it and you couldn't really embrace it in the moment because you're so focused on what you're doing?
I think I embraced it. I actually took off my earphones earlier. Just like I want to hear the crowd and just to
Good.
feel like shit, everybody's here. And yeah, some people they especially come here to watch me and stuff. And yeah, just to like enjoy the moment to go out on stage and perform. It was such a beautiful stage, and it was a beautiful experience to be able to go out there and be out for these people. And I was like, shit, yeah, this is cool.
Are you visualizing yourself winning? Are you visualizing yourself like at the end winning and what that'll feel like on the podium? Are you picturing these things or are you not?
No, I did not picture myself winning or anything. I just had like, I'm just gonna enjoy my time. I'm gonna do my work. I'm gonna do what I do. And but I did not like, I'm gonna win. I'm gonna win. Like that come later.
That would. Okay, not to jump ahead of the story, but that would explain your reaction after your last deadlift, which was amazing. I loved your reaction afterwards. We'll get to that in a second. We won't jump ahead in the story, but let's stay in the squats for now. So in squats, you had a phenomenal squat day. Hit a PR of 325. Are you paying attention to the other lifters at this point?
No, I think I never looked on the screen the entire competition,
Oh,
basically.
wow.
Almost. Because it's like, yeah, that's what Alex is there for. He and his wife actually helped as well. They focus on that. I didn't really look on the screen. Of course, I watched the Gavin squat the record. So that I watched, of course,
Yes.
because I like Gavin. But otherwise, I did not like focus on the screens and stuff like that. But yeah.
Were you aware that Keiko missed us? Like Keiko usually goes 9 for 9, almost
Yeah.
always 9 for 9, especially in battles. And I mean, from nationals to worlds. And the two times he didn't go 9 for 9 are the two times he lost. The first time he didn't go 9 for 9 and he finally went 8 for 9 and missed a lift was 2022 worlds, and he lost a chance. And then I it, and I mean, because he's so consistent. And then at Sheffield, were you aware he missed one of his squats?
Yes, I think so, but he got 300, so it
Well,
was like maybe he could have
yeah.
gotten 3, 3, 3, 2.5,
Or
perhaps.
305. So like if he
Yeah.
I th he missed the second squat, and I think they did the old don't take what you, because if you miss your third squat, you are in serious trouble going forward with just your opener. So I think they did the old, do we take our third, our planned third, or do we take our planned third minus a few kilos? I think he took his planned third minus 2.5 to 5 kilos because he squatted 305 before. Yeah. But it's big to miss. In statistically speaking, now the two times Keiko missed, and he's only missed one, but the two times he missed a lift, he's lost. And I don't know if you're telling yourself anything when you saw that, if you're reading into it, or if you and your team are like,
Of course, I watched it, but I think it would not have mattered if he would have got a 3.25 or 305 kilo squat. I think I could have pulled that more.
Oh yeah.
So it would not matter.
Yeah, yeah. For you had more in your deadlift for sure. You just pulled what you needed.
Yeah. But it would not have mattered.
I was thinking more along the lines of your confidence levels of today, you know, because sometimes things go your way, sometimes they don't. And these are like storylines that unfold, and it's just like, okay, wow. Maybe he's got a chicken in his armor after all.
It was not like I said, oh, good, he missed his squat. I didn't really think about it so much. I think I was focused on me, and like I had a good time with Kalle and Kyoto. We had the same warm-up area.
Ah.
So we had a good time talking there, and Kyoto doesn't speak English, but we did some funny stuff, and so and we had fun during the warm-ups.
Did it help having Kali there, who's also from Sweden, having another Swede on there? Is there like a, is it easier having people from Team Sweden there with you?
In some ways it's easier, but in some ways I think he was a bit nervous, so maybe we helped to calm him down a bit. He was a bit like, I saw he was thinking a lot, and so I think it was good for him, like we calmed him down and like, hey man, well, like, yeah, don't eat too much now. Let's stop him from doing stuff. So but it was a pleasant warm-up, I would say. We had a good time.
Yeah, that leads to a good question. Like, in your position, being a 10-year veteran and being in so many international competitions, are you kind of like developing into a bit of that role, like the big brother role to some of the younger guys? Like, Callie's just out of the juniors and already became a world champion. And there's like other people on the come up. And some of these people that are developing into the open will have come up watching you at 2018, 2019 battles when it was you and Anatoly, all of these battles. Some of these guys and girls are entering into the open, showing up, and it'll be like, oh shit, that's Gustav, especially now that you won Sheffield. I mean, you are going to be that guy in Sweden. And if they're back there with you and you are saying, like, they'll get confidence from you. If you're calm, they'll feel calmer. If you're confident, they feel confident. If you're like, don't worry, you're fine. If they miss a lift, come back, you're there, and you're like, relax, we're okay. They'll feel more relaxed and okay. Do you feel that as like developing into your role now in the sport, being around for so long?
A bit, yeah. And it's like, of course, you have to give something back to the sport. So, but it feels good to help younger lifters. Like, hey, man, you don't need to think too much about that. Think about the things you can do. Don't look at the scoreboard and start planning, like doing these mind games and stuff like that. Mostly like channel your energy. Don't go away. If you waste all your energy, then you're going to be tired. Focus your energy and preserve it and redirect it to the stuff you need to. That is something that I think many young lifters need to learn, basically.
2019 at the World Championships, in the warm-up room before that battle, you ended up, the World Championships was in Sweden.
Yeah.
And probably a lot of pressure because obviously the World Championships came to Sweden and you're in the midst of a battle in the 93s. How were you as calm as you are now? Or were you a little more nervous and a little more?
I was more nervous. I think I told you I was nervous before.
I remember, and I wanted you to say it yourself. Listen, if I'm honest, I remember talking to you in the warm-up room, and I remember you couldn't stop moving. And you were like, I remember you saying, I remember you saying, because you're honest, you were like, yeah, I'm a little nervous, but it's okay. It's okay. Like, you weren't negative. You were honest, but positive. You were like, I'm a little nervous, but it's okay. I'll be all right. But I'm feeling a little tense, but it's all, but I could tell you wouldn't stop moving. I remember you like kicking your feet a little bit, moving your hands. And I was like, oh shit, Gustav is a little nervous. But then you fast forward, like, that was 4 years ago, 5 years ago. You're in a much bigger event now, and you're a whole nother level of more calm.
Yeah. Well, it's like you learn. You do many competitions, and you learn, and you, like, grow from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say.
And experience is something that you can't read about. You can't look at. You could watch a YouTube video or read an article to help your squat, to help your bench technique. You could do all this to help your technique, to help your programming. You can't read or watch something to give you experience. That's only comes through doing it. There's no cheat code. You could all these things to help you technically better. But when it actually comes time, having done it over and over, been in the thick of it for years, nothing can duplicate that.
Exactly. And it's like, you learn to do it, and like you, and of course I think the key is to kind of enjoy it in a way that you like, I'm gonna affect the things I can do, and I'm gonna enjoy it, and I'm gonna do my best. And of course, if you haven't trained well before it, if you've like, some things are wrong with training, then perhaps it's harder to enjoy. But if you do your best training, you give all you got and go into the event, and if you're like, no, I did my best, then I think it's easier to like go through it as well.
Speaking of, so bench press comes around. It's been a bit of an issue. You were saying with some upper body issues with the bench press.
Yeah.
You had a good bench, not a PR bench, but not far off either. After the bench press, and at this point, you've gone 6 for 6, or sorry, you missed your second bench, but you hit your third. Well, so you missed 210, came back, hit 215. Was 215 the number you were always going to try, or did you do the old miss your second and bring down your third just a little bit to make sure?
It was, the plan for us was basically to hit 215 or 217.5, because I knew my chest was harassing me a bit, or what do you say? It's like it wasn't fully cooperating, the upper pec thing. Going into the biceps connection. So because of that minor thing, it didn't really, when I put on like full power on the heavy weights, I get a bit, I'm not like level, and I like adjust, I press like more with the one arm at a time or something. So, but so we, because I did 221 kilos in my gym, quite easy, a couple of months before, three months before. So, but then the chest thing came back, and I was like, damn. But the 215 was like the one I wanted to hit that day.
You needed to. You didn't want to fall behind, because if you didn't, without your second, you would have moved forward with only your opener.
Yeah, that would be hard.
That would have been, you had no, there's no room. There's no room to spare at that point. But you rebounded. That's what makes it exciting, is when someone misses their second, they go up anyways because they have to. Like Matt Gary, who's a phenomenal game day coach, says usually you missed a weight, you retake the same weight you missed. But you guys knew if you're going to win this, you can't retake 210. You need those 5 kilos.
And it was like the press was very good. It was just that I pressed exactly the same time as when he said press, I pressed the same time. It was like perhaps it wasn't even a second to, it was maybe a half a second. If I'd waited half a second more, then I would have gotten green light, I think. It was very like a very little too early.
Did you like, were you, could you hear him? Were you trying to time it? Or how did that really happen? Or did you just get a little excited and jump the gun a little bit?
It's because of my chest, I think, because it's a bit uncomfortable in the bottom position. So I was like, I pressed it a bit too early for that reason, I think.
Because sometimes in powerlifting, you can miss an attempt on a technicality, not strength. Then you go up in weight, and then you miss on strength, especially bench press. So that's why it's dangerous. But in your
Yeah.
situation,
I
in your
felt like I got
situation,
this. I got this, I felt. Alex was like, he saw it and he was like, yeah, increase. So it wasn't even a discussion. It was like increase.
and did you guys previously talk about how you can't lose ground? Like you could, if you didn't do that, you can't afford, it's too tight. You can't fall behind. You have to move forward, all or
Exactly.
nothing. Like you're here to
Yeah.
win. You're not here to
Yeah.
participate.
Exactly. We actually did that for squats as well, because with 215, we were like a bit, because the original plan was maybe to squat 327.5 or even 330. But then we were like a bit, maybe we should do 325 to make, just to be sure. Just to be sure we put 325. But I probably would have had 327.5. I think that day as well. But we went a bit conservative.
In your training, how often do you hit those heavy singles?
Never. I only do like, the maximum squat I did for this competition were like 312.5.
Because I'm obviously, as king of the lifts, I'm looking for the big lifts to repost, and you're always sub max, laid back. You never, it's just the way you train.
Yeah.
You're never really
Basically.
pushing, and it's very difficult for some people, I think, to tell where you're at. Like, where's Gustav's top end? Because you're never showing it. But you know where you're at based off of the sub max singles. Like, you're
Yeah.
pretty confident in it.
And that's just more for like training purposes, so I don't burn myself. So if you hit a very heavy single lifts and stuff, then the other training can be affected. And like, yeah, so that's probably why we don't hit so many singles all the time. But we usually do, like I did, as I told you, like 4 or 5 months out, I hit 320 kilo squat, I think, and 221 bench and 350 deadlift. That was a bit on the higher end, but that's far from competition, very
I
far.
seen that. So I seen that. I had conversations with people in DMs when that happened. And we were all like, okay, we got to pay attention to what Gustav's going to end up doing. But I also knew you rarely do that. So I was like, oh, I
Yeah.
don't know if he's going to do it again. And I've been following and paying attention if you're going to give us some big singles leading it to Sheffield. And that was it. You gave us that months ago. I'm like, I don't know where we're at now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is what it is. I mean, you've been working with Alex for a long years now, right?
2017, yeah.
Okay. Well, damn near from the start. So he's been on this journey with you the entire time as well.
Yeah.
So going into the deadlifts, are you aware Keiko once again broke the world record bench? He did it twice. So he gained back a little bit of ground he had lost on squats that he had to pull back. Gavin didn't have an amazing bench day. He's benched 220 before. He had to pull that back a little bit on the day. So he had a fantastic squat, had to pull back on bench.
Yeah.
Carlos actually had a much better bench than you. He's improved greatly. So now his total's starting to gain. Going into deadlifts, are you aware at all what the other gentlemen are doing on bench press? And do you know how tight this is?
I didn't really focus on that, actually. I think I knew that Kaiko, of course, he hit the bench world record. That's like he always hit bench world record, so
Right.
I was counting on that, but I was calm. I was having a good time warming up, and so yeah, I was happy.
I can't remember now in terms of the deadlifts because they don't have the score. I just have the results now up on open powerlifting. Were you, what were the openers at? Carlos is probably opening bigger, and that's fine.
Three, he was probably 340 opener, and my opener were 327.5 or something, maybe.
I'm going to pull this up right now.
Yeah, you can. I
So
think you
you
had it.
327, you're 327, 342. And yeah, and I want to take a look because if I remember correctly,
Taiko were 320, 342.5, 347.5.
he's 320, 340, 347.5.
Oh, 40.
Do you remember when you took the lead? Was it on the second deadlift you took the lead? I wish I had the scoreboard up.
I think I took it on the second. I think, but I think in army, yeah, the second perhaps. But I did the bigger. We went heavier than the than Kaiko in the first deadlift. Like some maybe for some reason, but then at the second lift we went heavier. I think for to maybe we got the total then. But I think
Because
we
I
were
remember,
maybe we were waiting for the for him to pull first the third.
yeah, you got behind him, which is for people listening, if you don't know, if you can, you want to get behind the guy or the girl, depending on whatever. You want to pull after them if possible, but you can't, you don't want to put in a number just to pull after them if you're not actually the bigger puller because you're going to miss. And then it's a wrap. You backed yourself in a corner. And you and Keiko started getting close on the deadlifts, but on this day, like historically speaking, but on this day, your deadlift was looked like you had, I mean, you had more than your last pull. It just you hit, it was smooth, and you actually couldn't believe how smooth and how much more you probably had on that day. And you probably could have hit 900 kilo total and added another 5 kilos.
Definitely.
But were you aware when you started pulling into the lead? Were you now, at what point are you starting to pay attention, like where you're at?
I didn't actually know how he did during his last deadlift and all this stuff. I was like, I wasn't looking at all. But I knew that it was I me and Alex we said like okay we can comfortably put 360 kilos because my deadlift I have improved my technique and lifting quite a lot I think since Malta in deadlift so I knew like I can probably pull 360 kilos so we're comfortable of putting that and when I saw we only need 355 that was why I was so happy I was like yeah I can do this I know I can do this.
And that's a huge, like, I'm looking at the stats here. I think leading into this, your previous personal best, was it 345? I mean, that is, your deadlift has improved so much. That is probably why you're as confident as you were. If you got an extra 15 kilos and it's at the end, so you're almost guaranteed to have the last say. I mean, Carlos is going to go after you, but he's not pulling for the win. You are.
Exactly. So, but I, and I felt very, very strong. I felt very energetic. I felt like I was even tired after competition. I was like, I felt so strong, so such a good shape. So for me, I was just like happy. I was like, shit, yeah, now it's my turn to pull 355. I got this. So I couldn't have been happier.
And did you know you were pulling for the win? Like, not just the Battle of the 93s, which is huge,
No.
but for, because I mean, there's more people after you, but you were, I forget the entire scenario, but the people after you weren't going to be, I mean, Jesus did a huge Hail Mary, which is awesome that he did it. But the likelihood when it was happening was if you hit this, it's over.
I didn't. I only think I thought about I'm gonna beat Kaiko. That was like, oh, I'm gonna win the 93s. That was my interpretation of the thing. So I at the
Okay.
stage, I didn't really know that I won the competition because I wasn't
Interesting.
paying attention on the screens. But I knew like shit. I won the 93s, but I didn't know how the other guys did. But I knew I won the 93s, and I was very happy for that.
After when you hit that, your reaction. I actually want to. You were so overjoyed. You threw your hands up, and you were. It was almost like, oh my God, I finally done it. You drop down and rejoice like it's done. The redemption, the all of it. I finally lived up to that potential, and I'm the
I
king of the 93s.
pulled my third deadlift.
That's right.
Yeah, so it was a very, very good feeling. And it was like, it's such a big crowd, it's such much energy in the room, and it's like so many emotions. It's hard to explain. And right now I'm sitting thinking like, did I win Sheffield? What? Did I win? It's like you can't get your head around it almost. It's like, did I win? Yeah, oh I did. Oh shit.
So at the moment, you're just thinking, I beat the 93s. We'll talk about when you found out about Sheffield in a sec. But in that
It
moment on the
landed a
spot,
bit perhaps when I walked off the stage, like or Alex told me like, yeah, you probably won, you won. And I was like, did I win? I was like, yeah, but did I? So I went back and looked at the audience again. I was like,
you're like, you mean Sheffield? You're probably like, no, yeah, the 93s. He's like, no. Sheffield. All of Sheffield. When that's starting to dawn, when you were on the platform and you thought you just beat the 93s, you looked ecstatic. You look like a man that, like, I mean, you were a man that were chasing this for years. Just in that moment, was it relief? Was it joy? Was it, what were you thinking? What was going through your mind with 2,000 people, 3,000 people yelling at you? And you're like, I finally did it. I could tell 2018, Gustav, we lived up. We lived up to our potential. And I could tell 50-year-old Gustav, you ain't got to worry about regret. Not anymore. We did it.
It was a big relief, and it was like, now I've proven that I can be the best. And I was, it was like, yeah, it was like you finished a 5-year-old job. It's like, now it's a big, this is a big part of my life, basically.
And then you walk off and you find, and you're watching the deadlifts, and it's realizing to you, I'm not just the king of the 93s.
I won. Yeah, it was a weird feeling, and I couldn't really almost believe it. I was like, did I win? And I got like everybody did the doping test, and I was like writing stuff on the paper. My hand was like shaking.
Really? Because it's just dawning on you. I won.
Yeah, it was a very, very, it's a feeling you it was a very special feeling.
And now that you look back and everything that's happened, Jesus, he was a heavy favorite coming into this. And he said in a post, the pain of losing hurts so much more than the joy of winning. And for Jesus, he's won so many world titles. He's won Sheffield. He's won so much. But your stories are opposite. For you hadn't won yet, like at the world stage. You'd won a lot. Your junior world titles, European titles, like you were a winner. But the word you're like a world championship caliber guy. Open world championship caliber guy. For you, if you can compare the joy of winning and the pain of defeat, do you feel the same? Do you feel the joy of winning is greater than the pain of defeat, or does it hurt more to lose than it feels good to win?
That it depends on the competition. Sometimes I think that it's more painful to lose, definitely. Like when I lost the European Championship in 2022. Yeah, the European Championship in Poland. I was very sick during that competition. Like I was sick for maybe 3 weeks, like before the competition, and it never left. And I came third at that competition. And it was a very badly arranged competition as well. Like if you ask European lifters about that competition, they're like, stay away. And that was like, so that competition hurt a lot. And I was like, shit, I wasted my time going here to this shit competition. And I like came third. I just want to go home, be with my girlfriend and cats, forget about this. But otherwise, I don't really feel that much pain when I lose in that way. But of course, the joy of winning for me is bigger than I would say. Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting how that works. But you're, I think you're, everyone's different. I think you're different than a lot of these guys. Like, you don't create enemies in your head of your opposition, or you don't often. Have you ever had to do that where you create an enemy with somebody in your head when you're training and
The first, I only did that, I think, that like my when I started lifting in 2014, 15, the first junior nationals I did, I came second to a guy. And that guy, I was like, I have to beat this guy. I have to beat him. That made me like on a crusade to get him. But I think it's only with that guy I've made it. Otherwise, I have not really made a. I have not made up my mind about this or such things later.
and why do you think that is? Because you're like busy, because you have a normal day job, right?
Yeah, I'm
By
a construction
normal, I mean,
manager.
yeah, like by normal, I mean it's outside of powerlifting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think it helps because you have all that outside of powerlifting that you aren't as into powerlifting? Like, do you pay attention to what people are saying on podcasts? Do you pay attention to what people are doing on
No,
social media?
I rarely listen to podcasts and stuff, actually. And so, but I, of course that helps. That helps a lot. But I would say my life always revolves very much on powerlifting. Like my boss at the construction firm, he's the head of the like department. He works out at my gym, so it's
Oh,
always
wow.
like even when I'm at work, it's like. He always talks to me about a little bit of business, but then it's like, okay, Gustav, you look a bit heavy now. What are you? So it's like, or some stuff like that. So it's always the powerlifting is always there, but I focus on me and what I can do and what I can improve. To go around and think about what other people think and do, that's like, well, you can't really do anything about that. So I try not to put energy into that. And I think that helps me a lot to stay calm, not overthink things, and just like try to enjoy life.
When you won, were people at work watching this? Was friends and family watching this? And what was
Yes,
their,
yes.
like, Sweden, powerlifting's big in Sweden. What was the reception after you won in terms of DMs, people reaching out when you came home, people at work?
Many DMs, many. So I've gotten huge amount of congratulations, text messages, and people calling me, and so I haven't like I've got so much response in a good manner, a feat and stuff. So I got a big recognition for this, and people are proud, I think.
You think this is because of the weight, 5 years in the making, and it's Sheffield. The event
Yeah.
itself, it's one day, all killer. And it's so over the top with production, and it's a phenomenal produced promotion.
Yeah.
Does this satisfy all those years of waiting? Like, is it almost better that your culmination and win happened at Sheffield as opposed to one of the world championships
Yeah.
leading up to it?
Definitely. I thought about that as well, and it was like it was such an honor to win on that stage. It was like a dream come true. It could not have been more better and beautiful. It was such a I'm very grateful to be able to have done that. And it was, yeah, probably one of the best days in my life. So I was happy that it happened in Sheffield.
Because some people win best lifter at Worlds. It's a huge accomplishment. But I don't, if I was to pull people aside and ask them who won best lifter in 2019, who won best lifter in 2022, they may or may not know. But if you're in powerlift and they're, and they could be in powerlifting and in the community.
Yeah.
But if I asked you who won Sheffield, everybody knows the champion of champion in Sheffield.
Probably. Yeah.
That's what makes it. That's when you know, like, all right, I'm glad it happened at Sheffield. Everyone's going to remember this. Everyone
Yeah.
remember that day.
Yeah, it was a huge day.
So looking ahead, now that you're the Sheffield, you're the 2024 Sheffield champion. You got a bag of money coming to you shortly. First off, let me ask you, what are you going to do with that money? Is that going away? What are you putting that money on? Buying a fancy car? Are you going to wear? Are you going to show up the weigh-ins at Worlds like Russell or he wearing the feather, wearing, sorry, the fur coat, the suit?
No, probably not. I will have the Swedish.
It would be
The
hilarious
Swedish.
if you showed
No.
up like Russell or he.
Yeah. That wouldn't be me. I'm gonna have the Swedish singlet. That's not singlet. The Swedish tracksuit.
Right.
But what I'm gonna purchase for the money? That's I've not really pulled it. I may not like. I've not said I'm gonna buy this. 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 I'm gonna invest most of the money, I think, in different stocks and the stuff I have. But then, yeah, we're gonna me. My girlfriend and Alex and his wife Matilda, we're going out on a fancy dinner in with the best steak restaurant here in Stockholm. So that's going to be expensive.
Well earned, man. Tabs on you that night, huh?
Yes. So
it's kind of cool to even be able to talk like this, like powerlifters, that there is money to be had. You were around
yeah.
when you first won. Well, you won in 2017 and 18, but when you were winning as a junior, there was nothing like this around. So
No,
pick.
not for miles. But me as a Swedish lifter and other Swedish lifters, we have been very, very fortunate to have a federation which has a lot of money. So I have not personally paid for any trip and hotel expense during my whole career since 2016. Like the ones when I did in 2016, I started international going to competitions. So I have never paid a bill in lifting it in that manner. So I'm very fortunate to have had that help.
It's but even then, looking at like what Sheffield is, even Worlds now, Sheffield has impacted how Worlds are now. Worlds are like leveling up.
Definitely.
It's on Eurosport. I mean, it's growing so greatly. Obviously, World Games is going raw. This is all. Where do you think powerlifting is going to be in 5 years?
That's interesting. I think it will only get better and better. Definitely. Are you doing the podcast? I think it's only going to get, I think it's only going to get better and more prize money and stuff like that. So, but I think it's going in the wrong direction. No, the right direction, I meant.
Yeah, it's the wrong direction. Too much money.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it away.
Too much money. Yeah, exactly.
Said nobody. And you're only, despite being a veteran, you're still 28.
Yeah.
I mean, people can enter their primes around now and you'll start enjoying your prime years now. So your peak is peaking with the popularity and growth of powerlifting. So you're in a beautiful situation right now.
So I'm happy about the situations. And I, as you said, I think many people peak like in their 40s or something like that. They maybe do their best competition.
I remember Eric Helms, we had a discussion on this on one of the podcasts, and he grabbed, there was some research in that I think the average is peaking around 35. Now this can move, this can change. Over time, it might change because as a sport grows and gets bigger and it's easier to find, like it's on Eurosport, if it ends up on a major broadcast in North America, if it ends up in a major broadcast in Asia, which I would assume it would as we grow bigger and bigger, more deals will be made. People will find it when they're younger.
Yeah.
You know, you probably, the smaller it is, you find it later in life because it's harder to find. And then I think the age of peaking will drop younger because of that, because more younger people are coming in and training at a younger age, whatever. But 35, my friend, because when your hand-eye coordination goes, your reflexes go, endurance goes, strength just stays. It's one. It's the last thing. It's the last thing
good
that
lives. Good for us.
It's amazing because you have some great opportunities to capitalize, especially, you know, you're only 28 years old. Looking ahead as we move forward, we don't know what everybody's plans are. Keiko is kind of on the fence on what he wants to do. We'll see what he ends up doing. Brendan Petrie is crossing over from the USAPL. Have you been paying attention to Brendan at all? Or are you just purely looking at the IPF so far?
Someone told me in Sheffield about him, I think. And they said that he had done 892 total.
Let me take a look real
quick.
He's good. The thing is, he was also, they have weird weight classes in USAPL. Don't ask me why they did
this.
Yeah,
90 kilo, yeah.
Yeah, it's silly. So he did at 89.7 body weight, he did 887.5. Previous to that, he at 93.8 kilos, so he's a heavy 90. He wasn't 93, he was over. He did 895. So I don't, it's potential. We don't know exactly where. It'll be exciting though, and he's going to be in the mix. But I guess you weren't paying attention then if you just found out at Sheffield.
There's many lifters in America, but he's welcome over to compete if he wants to.
Yeah, it'll be the 93s are always killers, man. You guys are so stacked. It's never freaking easy in the 93s. No. It's good
nothing
and bad.
Nothing is for free.
Right.
Nothing is for free.
Nothing is for free. No. And and yesterday's price isn't today's price. It just gets harder. It goes up every single year. And it's good and bad because it's bad if you want to use the term bad because it's so competitive and tough. But it's good because everybody watches and cares about the 93s. Every single year, everybody's going to be like, I can't miss the 93s. The 93s at Sheffield, the 93s at Worlds. And that means they're always going to pay attention to you and what's going on around you, which is good because there's some weight classes that people, it's difficult to make them pay attention and watch.
Right, to compete in 93, it feels like people are like, it's worse, almost like more in some ways to be like a good 93 kilo lifter than people are like, they know like, you're very good.
Yeah, well, to your point earlier, you could be the third best 93, but also the third best powerlifter in the world.
Basically,
people don't realize you're not just third best in your weight class. You could be the third best in every weight class and only get bronze. Like that's how hard it is. You know,
it's a hard fight.
It's a fight every single time. And what is your motivation now? Because you are probably the greatest powerlifter in the open to not win an open world title now that you just won Sheffield. You have to be.
I mean,
you won Sheffield. Is that just the last one where you got to win that world title? Does Sheffield alleviate that? If you look back, do you need to win a world title now to feel like, or does Sheffield alleviate that? Because you've been chasing a world title for so long, but now that you won Sheffield, I don't know, maybe you look at it differently. I'm not sure.
Sheffield felt almost like big. It feels bigger than a world title, I think, in that manner. But of course, I want to win a world title as well, because then I've won like every competition that I'm able to win.
Yeah.
So I want to win it.
And then obviously after that, it's World Games.
Yeah, World Games, of course. But World Games is, I don't know about this competition so much. It's just been equipped. And for me, to 2025, I'm focusing more about Sheffield. World Games is second for me.
Yeah, I think Sheffield is definitely bigger. I mean,
it's better for me as a lifter because I can win a lot of money and I get very, like the hospitality of SPD. They pay for everything. They pay for my girlfriend to come. They pay for my coach. And it's like, they don't cut. They what do you say? They're not cheap. They're very generous, and it's like, and you have a good prize money, and I really enjoy that competition compared to others in that perspective. So for me, it's much better to go there than to go to some place where I win a water bottle or something.
That's where I win a water bottle.
Yeah, but if you win World Games, you probably win like a water bottle or something like that. So it's like,
It's
yeah.
true. It's true, but it's like yeah, I think it's big, it's great that it's a multi-sport event. It'll be on TV, people are watching, but Sheffield's still Sheffield. Sheffield is still the reason why Sheffield is so it's there's no filler, it's all killer. It's one session of the greatest powerlifters in the world. One
Yeah.
session, all heat. Worlds will always be special. Yeah,
Yeah.
nothing needs to be said about that. World Games will be special because it's a little different. It's part of a multi-sport event with a opening ceremony, closing ceremony. So it's as close to the Olympics as we have. But Sheffield is Sheffield is almost like a different plane right there. It's almost a different and can I say, is that wine? Because I love that you're
No.
celebrating.
No.
It's not wine,
No,
damn it.
it's a Pep Diet Pepsi.
I wanted it to be wine. It would have been so good, the king drinking his wine, enjoying his victory. But anyways, yeah. And I could see where obviously you'll want a world title, but it probably doesn't hang over you now that you're Sheffield champion, because you're the champion of champions. You're the champion of world champions. So it's not like if let's say it stopped right now. Let's say you retired right now for whatever reason. You won't look back and be doing this about the world title, 1 inch away in 2021. You'll be like, I'm all right. I'm okay.
Yeah, but I'm too young to retire. That's
No, you ain't retiring.
not
No,
fun.
you ain't.
No,
How long do you think you're going to push this?
I don't know. We will see. I hope for as long as I can, and it's fun and it works out for me, then I will keep on pushing it. So
You see
now, and
yourself.
now I only get more as the money grows in the sport. I only get more reasons and opportunities to continue to push this. Of course, if there was no money in powerlifting, then it would probably be another story. But now it's just like, for me, it's this like my most fun year ever. It's like getting better, 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 better. So there's no reason to quit.
It's like a job now. It's a part-time job. That's the funnest job that you would do for free
Yeah.
because you did do for free. If you could
Yeah.
get paid for
Yeah.
something you would do for free, oh my God.
Yeah, that's weird. As you said, when we started powerlifting long ago, then it was like I knew I was walking into a sport with like no money and stuff, but I was like, I enjoy this, I want to do this. I don't care about that. This is what I want to do. So to get paid for that is like a blessing.
Yeah, we've come a long way. And do you feel like in the future, I mean, this is far off, but when you are done as an athlete, do you think you'll stick around in some capacity, whether it's coaching, handling, or something, or who, or what do you think? Because there could be other jobs open up if you end up on TV and you're doing commentary or interviews, or
Yeah.
what do you think?
I haven't really thought about that. But perhaps I won't do coaching and stuff like that, I don't think. But maybe something good. We will see.
Because there's what I did like at this Sheffield, they brought in Taylor Atwood to do some interviews and some pre-game analysis. And other
Yeah.
sports, when they have broadcasts, they bring in some of the greatest of all times to bring them in and get their opinion on things. And I kind of like that. And I don't know what Sheffield's going to do or SBD or any of these competitions are going to do in the future if every now and then you could cycle it around and bring somebody in and just be like, let's bring them in and pick their brain on the analysis or have them interviewing some people and just use them
Yeah.
in certain ways so they're still around you doing things.
Yeah, that's a good thing, and that's a sign that the sport has grown a lot, I think, that you can like put money on such things, and it's a good thing to see.
And how was that meet and greet after the event with all the fans coming? Was that crazy and surreal? The fact that we're here, like in 2016, 17, 18, you would never think there'd be a meet and greet with lineups of people
No,
wanting your
no, no,
picture,
no.
wanting your autograph. It's
Yeah.
crazy to see. I love the meet and greet idea. How crazy was
Yeah.
that?
It was very big, and it was a very big meet and greet. There were many people,
Yeah,
but
hundreds.
it was good because they paid a lot of money, and it felt like they were very happy to get to see the, like, maybe their idols or whatever reason they purchased the VIP ticket for. I think they looked very happy, and everybody I asked, like, are you happy with the show, and were you happy with all your like the experience? Did you enjoy this? And they said, like, they almost everybody said that it was over their expectation, and they were very happy for their money that they had spent. Like, so that was nice to hear. So they didn't feel robbed or anything.
Not yeah, it's not only that they came for the meet and greet, they paid extra
Yeah.
just to meet you.
Yes,
How
yes.
crazy is that? Like, that's where our sport is now.
Yeah.
It's one of those deals where you have to embrace the moment because God knows how many times in life people are going to experience this. People
Exactly.
lining up like that. And I
Yeah, it
was
was
talking to
a
some
weird feeling.
people in the hotel lobby, and this one guy, he was at one of the World Cups. For football. And he's that year when they were out and about at a, if it was like a mall or whatever, they would see some of the football players at the mall walking around, like, because they're in town and they're playing. And
Yeah.
everybody'd be like, oh my God, that's so and so. I'm not a big football guy, but they would be like starstruck. It would be like, oh my God, I can't believe that's so and so. And he told me, despite the fact that football is so much bigger a sport, because powerlifting is a community that's so unique, other sports powerlifting size don't have the same feel and community about it. We have legitimate stars. We have people with hundreds of thousands of followers, podcasts, everything. Other sports our size don't have any of that. And we have these
No.
massive streams, high production. And he told me when he was in town at Sheffield and they would bump in and they would see powerlifters that they would only see online, they would only see on social media. He got the same feeling like, oh my God, that's insert big powerlifter name. And
Yeah.
he was like, it feels the same. He goes, I can't describe it. I know the football player makes more money, more people watch him. I know all that. But to us, when you show up at Sheffield and you see these people, that's what it feels like, which
Yeah.
is weird to say, but it's true. And that meet and greet, you could feel it. People were totally
Definitely.
bugging out about meeting you guys.
Yeah, so it was a weird feeling to like sign so many posters and stuff, and it was almost a surreal feeling. But it was very, I think it was enjoyable, and it was nice to meet the people, and like so it felt like this sport has grown so much. It felt like this is for real now, almost.
It's a really real sport. It's a real professional sport now. SBD has
Yeah.
done fantastic.
Yeah.
Quick question for you. What would you tell 2021 Gustav when he walked off the platform doing this? And what would this Gustav tell that 2021 Gustav?
You're on the right direction. Keep on fighting. And don't give up.
And we all know how that story ends. Or I should say end, but we know how this chapter goes.
Only beginning.
It's only the beginning. That's right. It's not the end. It's not the end of the begin. It's not the beginning of the end, but it's the end of the beginning. That's what Winston Churchill says. Anyways.
Yeah.
All right. Would you like to play the name game, sir? I drop a name and you could tell me the first word that comes to your head. Or a story, or basically, there's no right and wrong answer. You just say whatever comes to mind. I drop a name and you tell me what you're thinking.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. First one, this will be easy. Jonathan Keiko.
He is a good guy, and he's a very worthy opponent, and yeah, I like him.
Gavin Aiden.
He's also a worthy opponent, good guy, and I'm very happy that he got the squat record.
Yeah, he's been chasing that forever.
Yeah.
Chance Mitchell.
I met him in South Africa. He had a fantastic deadlift and he had a fantastic competition. And he is a guy who also has been working quite hard. Well, or he has been working hard to achieve that victory. But it was a bit sad that he kind of disappeared later.
Yeah.
I was hoping he would stick around so he could like battle out stuff. But he disappeared.
It's so bizarre, isn't it? He just
Yeah.
totally disappeared.
Yeah, it was
And
like out of nowhere.
he's young. He could come back, maybe. I don't know. You can't lose too much time though, because the sport keeps moving.
Yeah. Who knows what happened? So it's weird. That was weird.
At some point in life, I gotta get him back on the podcast to tell the story.
Yeah.
Emil Krastev.
He's also a good guy and he's looking very strong now. He's working out very hard and he's been gradually building up and stuff. So I look forward to meeting him in Lithuania to have a good battle.
Brennan Petrie.
Brandon Petrie, the guy from America.
That's right.
Maybe I will see him in Lithuania to do battle.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because there's a lot of hype on Brandon Petrie. The thing is, there's three really good Americans, probably more, but
Yeah.
Keiko, Gavin, Petrie, and I think America's only going to send one.
Yeah.
So I
We
don't
will
know.
see
Yeah,
some one
I
of them.
guess send one of them. Come one,
Yeah.
come all. You face them all eventually.
Yeah.
Carlos Peterson Griffith.
I'll see him in Lithuania, I guess.
I assume so. I assume so. And now he's a contender again. How about this guy? Anatoly Novopismani.
That's my old friend, I would say. I usually keep in touch with him, and he's a really, really nice guy. Very strong guy and a guy who has motivated me a lot, Anatoly. He's a very hard worker. And I think for many people, they don't really maybe see the hard work he does. He's a really, really good lifter, I think.
I didn't know that you spoke Russian, but that was because you do speak Russian, you could talk to him when you see him.
I see. I'm not like a fluent in Russian, but I can speak a bit of Russian because of my work. We have many people in construction where they do like plastering, tiling, and like, where's the masonry jobs in Sweden from like the Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Bulgaria, and they speak collectively Russian. So I have learned. I've spoken with those guys a bit, so I've learned a bit of Russian from them over the years.
I'm glad
So
because
then I can communicate a bit with Anatoly.
oftentimes when I see Anatoly at Worlds, and I've seen him at Worlds like I think it was 2017 was the first time, so it's been years that I keep seeing him, but there's like a barrier there. Everyone else talks, everyone else catches up, everyone else is all together. And he's kind of on the outside because his English is very limited,
Yes.
very limited English. So he can't have somebody to talk to or have someone to open up with and be like, oh my God, this is crazy, huh? Like we just take for granted you just walk up to someone and start talking. And you can. You just like how many times we're in the hotel lobby or whatever, and you just walk up, start shooting shit. You sit down for dinner. You could sit at any table you want. We all know each other. We know each other for years. And he has known us all for years, been around for years, and he can't talk to anyone and he misses out. And I'm glad
Yeah.
you're around because when I saw you guys downstairs talking, it's like, oh, okay, good. Good that he's got somebody that he could chat with.
Yeah. I even gave him my favorite shirt with Till Lindemann, the singer in Rammstein. I gave
Oh
him
yeah.
my that shirt as a gift, like
Nice.
big gift.
And he had a pretty good day considering. I remember I talking through you were kind of like a translator, but I ran down and I was like, Anatoly, those numbers are not injured opener numbers. And he was like, I'm still injured. I'm gonna give it. We'll see what
Yeah,
happens. But he
he
had a
still
pretty good
squatted
day.
the world record.
Crazy. And he came close to breaking the total world record. If he was one lift away, one deadlift away, but his back finally gave out. It was a back injury and finally the back, but he came close.
And he was like, yeah, it's good. He was not even complaining, whining. He was like, he's such a hard worker. He's like, yeah, and that only like to travel from a war zone in Ukraine by bus to Poland, it was a super long journey. But he's like, oh, I'm here. Oh, let's lift. And it's like a regular day at office for him. And I think most people would have cried if they were in his situation. But
And he's not going to complain.
no, he's like, yeah, let's fucking do this.
No excuses, no complaints. And when I
No.
asked him, like, I'm like, dude, all of those numbers do not look like openers for an injured man. He's like, I'm injured, but I'm going to do them anyways. I'm here to work. And it was
And you can
inspiring. And he
see,
came close.
if you look at his deadlift, you can see that he's struggling. You see that he has pain and stuff. You see it's not as hard as it used to be. Because I've seen him do like 345 for double in deadlift and stuff like that, repping it out. And now you see him like at 260. It's a totally different thing. So you
It was
see
all
that
heart.
the, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he's hats off. He broke the world record squat, and I think the pain just caught up to him in deads, and he did good. He came close to breaking the total world record. That's crazy. He loaded it up and he went for it.
He's a champion.
How about this? Russell Orhi.
I've never met him actually. I've never talked to
Really?
him. No, I we were at a supermarket in 2021. He walked out the door, we walked in the door. That's as close I've been to him.
Really?
And the only thing I recall is how short he is. It was like, man, you sure? It was very. I was amazed how I thought he was bigger or taller.
You're tall for a power lifter.
But I was a bit amazed how short he was. I was like, shit, I don't know. I don't know his height in centimeters, but it was. I thought he was bigger.
And they're all coming back. It'll be pretty cool to see everybody back at Worlds.
He's a good lifter, so it will be interesting to see when he comes back what he hit.
And he's got tons of star power. Sheffield, Worlds, everything's going to blow up. It's going to be, 2024 is going to be phenomenal. 2025 as well. How about this young lady? Look at the Shitko.
She has done a big journey, and she is like she has won. I think she has won everything you can win. She has won World Games equipped worlds. I think she has
Well,
won everything you can.
she didn't win Classic Worlds yet. That's weird because both you guys are waiting to win Classic Worlds.
So we
Isn't
will
that
see now
weird?
Lithuania.
Now both you guys now could look at each other and be like, let's close this show, huh? Let's
Definitely.
wrap this up. And how about last person, Pena Giotis, the leader of the French Revolution.
Tana, I remember he told me that was for Worlds in 2023. We met before, and he was like, and he said like, I think you're gonna win now at the Worlds. I remember he said,
Really?
and I'm grateful for that. Thank you. So, but I think I didn't win that because of the weight cut and stuff were a bit off. So I had no strength and stuff, and the chest, of course. But I think he looked at the training and was like, I think you're gonna win. But Tana, he did. I guess he's not super happy about his performance, that he didn't beat the world record.
Yeah.
I didn't talk to him so much afterwards.
He wasn't super sad. He wanted to
No.
do better. He did
Yeah.
good and he came in top five. He won the Battle of the 66s against Kyoto. So he
Yeah.
didn't, it wasn't, it was by no
Yeah.
means terrible for sure. It just wasn't what he wanted. But
Yeah. Yeah, that's understandable. He wanted to win,
that
of course.
happens.
Yeah. So we just talked briefly, like at the banquet and stuff, and he congratulated me, and so he was nice. We had a little bit of conversation and stuff, but I didn't really have the time to ask him like, how do you feel and all this stuff. But yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's doing a lot for powerlifting in that region,
Yeah.
popularizing
Yeah,
it. He's inc
it's huge in France.
it's incredible how popular he is. I can't
Yeah.
believe his social media, it's nuts
Yeah.
the amount of likes and views and stuff. But
Yeah.
yeah, he's
It
helping as
helps
a
the
whole.
sport. Yeah, that helps the sport immensely. So he's doing all of us who do does this. He does, what do you say, his work makes powerlifting bigger for everybody, I think.
Him, Russell Orhi, guys like that, like when they're involved with the competition, helps bring eyeballs to it. Good. Helps all of
Yeah.
us. Helps all of us
Yeah.
as a whole.
Definitely.
Well, listen, my friend, I won't take up too much more of your time. We're getting close to 2 hours. We had a lot to catch up on, man. We could probably
Definitely.
talk again, but we should talk before Worlds when we get a little bit closer. Let's have you back on. We'll see what the nominations are. We don't even know who's going to be there. We don't know Tycho, Gavin, Petrie, who's doing what.
I'm gonna be there.
You are going to be there. That's right. You will be back. And if I'm not mistaken, you're already coming back to Sheffield for sure, right? They invite back the champions.
They actually had to withdraw that, I think.
Oh, did they? Okay.
I think so. I think so. But I was like, no worries. I want to earn my place.
Right.
For me, it doesn't matter if I'm directly invited or anything. I want to earn my place here. For me, it doesn't matter. I
Well
think it
said,
was something
man.
with IPF. I don't know. I'm just like, I want to earn my place. For me, it doesn't matter. I respect you guys. I like you guys. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you'll see me regardless. I'll do it the old-fashioned
Hopefully.
way.
Yeah, hopefully. And it's like, yeah, it's more, for me, it's more honorable to earn my place.
Well said, sir. Well said. Well, listen, hats off to you, man. I'm super
Thank you.
proud. You've worked for this for years. You're the type of guy everybody respects you. Everybody has long known that you're capable and you just needed to have your day. And when you finally had your day,
It was a good
picture
one.
perfect. Picture perfect, buddy.
Yeah.
They make movies
Yeah.
about this. They write books about this. It couldn't have gone any better. And your expression in that video when you leave the platform, the expression on your face and your reaction says it all, man. It said
Yeah.
it all. So you earned it, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, embrace it, and I'll see you in Lithuania. We'll have you back on before Lithuania, but we'll see you soon, sir.
Thank you.
And everybody listening, please do subscribe, give us high ratings, and as per usual, six pack lap of that. Six up, and we are out.